This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. I had such bad hay fever yesterday when I started the show. I almost just wanted to cut off my head. Start off doing nothing. Ridiculous. But I'm here now. I'm feeling much better. This morning, the windows were open, and there must be a lot of pollen in the air because it definitely affected me yesterday. But for some reason today, it's fine.
You sound better today, guys.
They say the pollen count is like 4 or 5 times more this year than it was this time last year.
What does that mean?
Well, the plants are having a good time. That's what we know.
But people with allergies aren't.
Plant pollen is like the plants are having more sex this year.
Ah. It's all the birds and the bees.
That's right. There's no Gord this morning. He's got work to do with someone else, and, you know, he kind of has to prioritize that stuff. He doesn't just hang out with us for fun. Well, he does, really.
Yeah, he does.
So what's everybody up to this morning? It's Wednesday. Ooh. It's the 18th of September.
It's too early to ask.
I know. It's.
What do you mean?
What day is it?
Oh.
I'm driving an electric car for fun.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
I'm not going to talk too much about it because I'm just trying it out. Mm. I mean, I'm one of those people who likes to try out new technology. I like to know what's going on. I'll try it out with phones and with, you know, apps and with all kinds of things. You've got to give them all a go.
To see what the fuss is all about.
Sometimes partly that, but I'm not really interested what people are chattering about. It's more so that I can understand it.
So in other words, you don't need petrol, right?
None. Mm. Zero petrol.
Doesn't that feel good?
Amazing.
But now, what would one's electricity bill at home look like?
Not that much more, because it's like plugging in an appliance.
How long have you been driving it now?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Today's Wednesday, so it's 5.5, 6 days.
And have you had to recharge it since?
Oh, plenty of times.
Oh,
no,
you charge every day, don't
that
you?
Charge doesn't just go down. I mean, it doesn't just stay where it is. Uh-huh. It goes down quite rapidly. Like, it went down 11% coming to work now.
Oh.
But I'm playing around also because, and I'm not going to mention brands or any of that stuff because that's not what I'm doing this for. But if you drive carefully on the downhills, it charges itself.
Mm.
How so? That's
well, because
so confusing.
The spinning wheels create kinetic
like
energy, which they can then turn back into electrical energy. The car is able to turn that energy back into something useful. So if you're going down a downhill and you take your foot off the accelerator, it goes from using power to charging.
Is it an automatic?
Yeah. Oh, it's the most. Yeah. It's the most evolved automotive machinery I've been a part of. Now, I know that there are various hybrids where you can also have the petrol engine
and
the electric
motor.
Engine, and the two work together, and that's quite cool because you don't have to charge it quite as much. This thing is 100% electric.
Mm. It's very interesting. What's the range on a full charge there, Gareth, on that thing?
What is it?
The range on a full charge.
About 280 to 300 kilometers.
That's good.
It's improved. Really good, yeah.
I mean, it's improved from where it began.
Yeah.
Especially with the model that you're driving. Uh-huh. And I mean, you can get everything done in your day with that kind of range.
You can. I said to a friend of mine who was up here from Cape Town yesterday, we were having a meeting yesterday morning, and I said to him, you could do this. You could have this car. He said the problem is in Cape Town, people live in apartments and they don't have charging ports in the basements of these apartment blocks.
Mm.
So that's something they'll have to consider if he were to seriously consider buying a car like this. We don't have enough street charging places.
I think
there are these fast charging places in like O.R. Tambo and Melrose Arch.
And how long do you have to charge the car for until it's fully charged?
If you want to get 100%, which is what I left with this morning, you've got to charge it for 10 hours. From empty.
Oh,
it's on the wall socket.
So you need to go and have breakfast, and then you must have lunch.
No.
At a charging station, it's less than
minutes.
An hour, 40 minutes.
40
minutes.
Okay.
At a proper charging station. Mm. That's.
But if, for example, like on, when was it, Sunday, I realized suddenly I need to charge this thing because I was at like 13%.
Mm.
You get a little bit nervous because you're like, what if there's a, Yeah, if there's an emergency now, I'm in trouble.
It's called range anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
Range anxiety. That's the perfect description.
Range anxiety.
But luckily on Sunday, I didn't have much to do. So I went off to the gym, got back from that, plugged it in, and it took the whole night. But I woke up Monday morning, it was fully charged.
Mm. It literally works the same way as your phone. When you sleep, you plug it in.
I was actually thinking that. Yeah. I'm not at that point where I could charge my car because I'm still the person who carries three different power banks and I forget to charge my phone right now. What's my phone on?
Well, I think you would probably be the right person to have an electric car because you'd be thinking, I must charge my car. So you'd never end up in a situation where you'd be chargeless.
Can't we have portable something like a power bank?
I think ultimately that's what they're going to do. And people like Elon Musk are working on these brilliant batteries, which should last a lot longer and be able to do a lot more. I love it. I think, you know what? The day we're not dependent on oil and petrol the way that we are now.
Mm. That's the thing, is dependency.
The world just becomes a better place.
And either than that, like the experience of driving the car is totally like
loved it.
Petrol or diesel car.
Yeah, it goes just as fast. It goes just as well.
Gareth.
It goes faster.
Yeah, electricity is insane.
Yeah, and it doesn't make a noise. Like it is so quiet. I'll play a little game with you guys after the show and we'll see if you can tell. If you stand up here, I'll start my car and drive up to the gate, and then I'll start this one and drive up to the gate. You won't even know that I've started this one and driven to the gate. You can hardly hear it.
It's an experience, huh?
Mm. Mm. No, I think it's something a lot of people must seriously consider, especially if you live in town and you don't drive long distances. Let's say you're one of those people who basically you spend most of your time going to the office and back. You go to the shops occasionally. Everything that you usually do is quite close to where you live. If you're one of those people, this is the way to go. If you're one of those people who lives a little bit further from everything, you're maybe out in the country a little more, probably not a good idea for you. Probably not something that you should think about yet. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a hybrid is something you should think about. But
or
again,
if you're like a bank robber and you never know when you're going to need your car to be charged.
Yeah.
If you're on the run from police.
Yeah. Bank robber's not a great one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be so embarrassing if you're a bank robber and you try to start your electric car and you just 5%. Can't get away.
Yeah. It's like a get a stay car.
But I'll talk to you some more about it once I've been driving it for a full week and then we can get into the discussion.
Mm.
But I'm not a fool. I realize that electricity still comes from coal burning fire stations. So I know I'm not trying to save the environment. I've never been one of those people who believed that an individual could save the environment. Places like India and China pumping out so much fossil fuel bullshit that there is just no hope for even if 20,000 people in South Africa suddenly bought electric cars, it wouldn't make a blip on the horizon.
Mm.
Mm. So I'm well aware of that. It's the same as those virtue signaling plastic straw activists. Not going to make a difference. And don't tell me otherwise because it just irritates me. You sound like you sound like a religious nut when you start going on about plastic straws. Yesterday, I felt like I was doing lines of dust and pollen. I went through a box of Allergex and also a box of tissues.
Oh, my God.
That's Sean. Sean, I'm so with you, dude. I thought there was something wrong with me yesterday. I thought, what did I do? Have I taken medicine? Did I eat something that I'm allergic to? I thought there was something seriously wrong with me yesterday. Because the entire day, I was exhausted yesterday, which made no sense because I'd had sleep the night before.
Mm.
Second of all, I felt all bunged up. I was carrying tissues around with me the whole time. It was terrible. Getting through the show yesterday was an ordeal.
Oh, goodness.
Mm. An ordeal.
I had to go to Kaya Sand the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's just a belt of dust. You can see it as you're approaching it. It's literally Kaya sand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the wind and the dryness.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
I'd far rather be complaining about this, though, than the cold.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Do you know what was so lovely? Last night, I went outside at about 7, 8 o'clock, and it was beautiful. It was warm.
Mm-hmm.
It was quiet. It was just that little, there was a slight sort of nip in the air, which is what you'd expect at this time of year, but nothing that would put you off. Like it's almost time for us to start doing things outside.
And shaving one's legs.
I think it is
some,
yeah.
And shaving your legs. Legs.
Yeah, have to do that now.
Ugh. What, are you looking like a Sasquatch?
A little bit.
Uh-oh.
Is it some peach fuzz?
More than that.
Oh, my God, it's a forest. Morning, guys. On the Blind History episode, did you do research by just watching the movie Dracula, The Untold Story? Just fucking with you, it was a good movie, but for only 15 minutes, you guys are fucking awesome. Great episode, Big Mike. Well, Big Mike, that's a lot of swearing for one message.
Sure.
But thank you.
Sure.
There's something about the name Big Mike, though.
Oh, you like that. Well, if you haven't started listening to season 2 of Blind History, it is already, I reckon it's probably the most popular podcast in the country. And you're missing out.
I mean, you really don't have an excuse. There's a podcast. You can watch it on YouTube.
You don't have to be a history fan. These stories, if you watch that true crime stuff, forget about it. That stuff's nothing compared to Vlad the Impaler. This guy made every serial killer in history look like a rank amateur. All of them.
Vlad.
Even the fictional ones. Like Hannibal Lecter has nothing on Vlad the Impaler.
And he's scary.
Go and take a listen. You'll enjoy it. Very exciting stuff, said Ruth. You just have to carry a very long extension cord with an electric car. Yeah, that's a good point too. Hey, guys. Good morning. I was listening to Gareth and Pumi talking about the army being deployed in Cape Town. And interesting, a lot of people in Cape Town are very for this. They're on essentially Gugu and Sia's side, who said that they think it's probably a good idea for the army to be there. Mm. Pumi and I are very against this. First of all, on basic principles, we don't like the idea of the military being called in to sort out a civil situation. But it turns out the provincial government have welcomed it.
A lot of the Western Cape province.
A lot of the people in the Cape Flats are very happy about it because they feel there's more law and order. Mm. And then there's that story about how it hasn't affected crime or unrest or acts of violence at all. That was from independent newspapers. Brought out the figure that said that it's 4% up, not down. So I don't know what to believe.
Where do they get that information from?
Number of reports of incidents to police stations.
Mm.
We didn't cover this yesterday, and I don't mean to diminish the role that the army plays, but pardon my ignorance, what does the army do for the rest of the year? Are they sitting at their bases?
Yeah, I mean, in this country, the army is basically sheltered employment for fat old men and women over the age of 40.
So they need to work then, which is what they're doing now.
They do need to work, but I don't trust fat old men and women over the age of 40 to look after anything.
But quite honestly, if I were to say I wanted to enlist, is that still a word used?
I've seen a lot of young guys
enlist. Yeah,
only used in
if
war.
You wanted to enlist?
Yeah, if I wanted to enlist and I'd go through the training and I graduate, then what do I do? Am I just always...
You train.
Well, we do... Yeah,
I've got a cousin who's in the military. He trains.
They train all day.
And all day, every day.
And they also do... Like, they do interesting stuff some of the time. They get
drills as well.
Get deployed to places like the DRC. You know, we do a lot of... in the African Union, for example, we send a lot of troops around the continent to help with unrest in various places.
Oh.
But essentially, the whole reason that a country needs an army, and this is why I question why we need an army, or certainly why we need an army like we have in terms of size, is if there are existential threats to that country from beyond its borders. Now, there is no country in the world that is so anti-South Africa. You know, we're not Israel, for example. Israel's surrounded by 7 or 8 countries that hate it and want it to be destroyed. They have to have a military.
Mm.
Countries like the United States are so busy getting involved in all kinds of places all over the world.
Business.
They need a military. Plus, of course, they are the world's most powerful nation. They're the world's most economically powerful nation. And for many, many years of their history, in the last part of the 20th and the middle part of the 20th century, they were the country that saved the world from tyranny and from madness, and eventually from communism as well. And if they didn't have a large standing army, air force, navy, and marine force, then who knows what might have happened? We might have all been speaking German and being enrolled into the Hitler Youth, Sia, which you'd have no say in.
Yeah,
that would not have been so good.
No, for on the black and the gay front.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have worked out.
Probably
so well.
Hitler wouldn't have even liked that I was vegetarian as well.
Oh, big time. No, he was a vegetarian.
Oh, great. We could have, never mind, I don't have a conversation with
Hi,
him.
Hi, Mr. Hitler. I hear you're also vegetarian.
I feel like I don't know Sia right now. Yeah. I don't know he was vegetarian.
What are you doing today, Sia? I've got lunch with Hitler.
Yeah, we're just going to that vegan restaurant down the road. It's so awesome.
Of course, we're going to drink with bamboo straws.
Who are our enemies? Like, if you think about it, what country hates South Africa so much they might invade us?
African countries.
Nigeria, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, but that's because we've treated their people who come here so badly.
Namibia, they won't even play our music on radio.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we're horrible.
Because we're asses.
Yeah, yes.
Horrible okay. people. South Africans are the most prejudiced people in Africa.
I would not according want to Nigeria entitled. Coming down on us.
Yeah, well, Nigeria have to go a long way to invade us. Just think about that. They have to go through, if they're going on land,
it's a long
hard road. And if they're coming here by ship, I don't know that Nigeria has much of a navy. And their air force, I don't think their air force is much either. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even get Boko Haram out of the country, so let's not worry too much about that. My point is, sure, let's not look for work for the military if we don't have work for the military. They shouldn't be a supplementary police force. And as Pumi said yesterday, what do? They don't arrest people. The army is not there to arrest people. They don't know how to do that. The army knows how to shoot people dead.
Is there a chance that with this, their mandate could be different?
Yeah, I think you guys are speaking in theory.
Okay, but then fix the police, like Pumi said.
That's a longer-term goal, Gareth. Right now, we need an intervention. That's what we're saying.
Oh, I can't believe we're having this conversation again. By the way, someone yesterday said they loved Leanne's list of bizarre websites that we should all visit.
And there are even more. You know that.
And they said they can't wait for you to repeat it again next week.
I actually messaged my family last night, the young ones, the cousins, and I said, it's happening.
You're worried.
Yeah, I remember when my mom was my age.
Yeah,
she used to tell me the same stories in the morning that she'd told me the day before.
Oh, no.
Telling you.
You mean your mom used to tell you the same stories in the morning that she told you the day before?
No, let me tell you something. My mom used to tell me the same stories in the morning that she did the day before.
Wait, I'm getting a feeling your mother used to tell you the exact same stories.
The day before.
Oh, my.
No, wait. I don't understand. This is incredible. Are you saying that your mother used to tell you the same stories in the morning that she told you the day before?
That's what my mind feels like.
Oh, my God.
And you aren't able to identify it. Like, there's not even a blimp in the radar of.
No memory of.
Not even a deja vu feeling.
No. Yeah,
it is happening because I was sitting in the production studio last week and I was listening to you. I'm like, but she's done this before. I don't want to embarrass her.
No recollection.
No, you want to embarrass her. Let me just remind you, Guru.
Next time, embarrass me rather.
You're new to the show. Oh, yeah. Embarrassing each other. Uh-huh. If any of us do something embarrassing, it's material.
Fair game. Yeah. Okay.
There's no one listening to us right now that's going, oh, I wouldn't like embarrassment. They want us to be embarrassed. Trust me. Joey says on this army deployment thing, because I do want to move on. The situation in Cape Town is spinning out of control. My prayers are with the soldiers who leave their families behind. Trying to make a difference. I'm sure that many saved lives. But that's news. The media is just not interested in. They're more interested in sending us horror and shocking stories. You know what, Joey? You're so right. Forget about the army in Cape Town for a minute. The media business is so disgusting. I have such a problem with the mainstream media. They only report horror, pain, torment, anguish, bad things, ugliness, social discord, poverty. The more bad news they can squeeze into their horrible publications and their horrible websites and their horrible whatever it is, content that they're putting out, the more clicks and interest and downloads and views and all that shit they get. And remember, that's what they sell to advertisers. I think what we've got to do is move away from a model where we're measuring how much people are paying attention to something just because it's terrifying and it hits that reptile brain. Yeah. And we have to move to a model where we're – because people think that's engagement, right? They call that in an advertising world. And it's such a sick, twisted environment, really. Because what they're doing is they're counting the number of people they can make anxious. And remember, if you're advertising Omo washing powder to an audience of people who are only there because they – the news is making them anxious, and they're afraid if they don't have that news, they won't be able to make good decisions for survival in their family and for the economy and all that kind of stuff that they have to consider every day. If that's the reason they're coming, they're not thinking about buying washing powder, and it's certainly not, you're not getting them in a good place. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say, as much as the media is to blame, it also is they're just playing on how we naturally feel, which is that innate feeling of survive or die, and we need to know.
So let me ask you this then. What will happen if you stop reading all this horrible news? What will happen if you go off Twitter? What will happen if you stop listening to radio news, which is full of ugliness? What will happen?
You'll live a more peaceful life.
Thank you. Thank you, Gugu. Spot on.
I'll also have mild anxiety.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
You'll have less anxiety.
I'll just need to know what's going on and where we are.
You'll have less. We can cover the five things you need to do, need to know in what, like 5-10 minutes every morning?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's enough. You don't need to fill your brain and fill your heart and fill your soul with horrible stories. You know, yesterday we did a couple of news stories that made me really, like, upset. Mm. I had a rough day because of it.
Yeah, it was tough.
Mm. I didn't want to do that. You guys were talking about the week before while I was away, where there was so much bad news. You don't need to. Let me tell you something. A lot of this stuff doesn't affect you. The dross rapist, this twisted, sick individual who's just gone to court in Pretoria, that guy, as horrible as that story is, it doesn't affect you. He is such an anomaly. He is such an outlier. You know these stories we read about racism, like with, you know, Penny Sparrow or Adam Katsavelos, or these crazy farmers who put a black guy in a coffin and threatened to bury him. You know these stories?
Mm.
The reason that they stick out is because they're rare. They're not happening all over. There are not a whole bunch of black people who are plotting to kill whites and white people who are plotting to kill blacks. That's not how the South Africa I know works.
Most people are not like that.
Mm. The reason these stories come up and the reason they're made a fuss of is because the news media has realized that that stuff sells. Mm. It gets the whole of social media all whipped up, and then they can get the clicks and they can get the credit.
Ah.
Don't pay attention to this shit. It will make your life better. And see, you're not going to be anxious if you don't know those stories. You'll be anxious when you do. Don't you think you could stay away from them?
Mm.
I'm not saying head in the sand. You need to maybe know they exist, but you don't need to read the whole article. You know, there was some issue in Cape Town. Do you live in Cape Town?
No.
Do you worry about family members who are on the Cape Flats at the moment?
No.
So is there a reason for you to personally get anxious about complete strangers, even if they're going through terrible things? Because there's an earthquake right now in, I don't know, Bangladesh or in Guatemala, or there's a flood somewhere in Huevos Rancheros.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're all anxious for shit.
Yeah, and what are you going to do? Like, in the old days, you wouldn't have known about the news from Cape Town because it would have taken a week by horse to reach you.
You know, I've tried as well to cut down on what I consume in the mornings. And yes, we are here and we have to do the show and talk about what's happening in the world. But in, I'll say easily, the first 20 minutes of my day, I've gone onto some website or another just to skim the headlines as well.
You don't want to be dumb.
Mm.
Yeah, sure.
But it's also just, I need to know. I don't need to know. I guess it's satisfying something.
Like, it's satisfying something. It's you're scratching an itch. And also that the internet has got us all so worried that we're missing out on something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Always.
For what? Like, really and truly? If you had to figure out on a scale of this affects me a lot to this affects me not at all, most of those news stories are on the not at all end. Right? And I mean, even things that are big news, like the NHI or taxes or traffic problems or, you know, the closure of a major hospital. Most of those things, at your level and my level, probably not going to make that much difference.
But we're kind of guilt-tripped into thinking that as soon as something makes the news, we should be worrying about it.
I know.
We should know about it.
And people take to the streets and, the ANC, NEC is doing this. And, so what?
I don't care about him.
Right. Anyway, we do have to get to the things you need to know this morning, so let me not argue against my own position. But I do think You just got to clear out a lot of the crap that is clouding your judgment and making you anxious. It's unnecessary. Life is really, really interesting. And it's also tough if you make it tough. There's some stuff you don't need. And there's some stuff that even if you know about it, you don't need to let it worry you. You could put it in a box of, wow, that's interesting. Without it having to be, oh my God, my life's falling apart. That's such bad news. I'm going to have a terrible day.
Compartmentalize.
There we go. All right. Well, I'm sure you saw that video of the Gauteng Traffic Police Department officer who was hanging onto the bonnet of a car.
Trying to write a fine while it's moving.
And the car is moving.
I can't believe this is real.
Someone filmed it from a car next door. Now, do you know what this? Do you know what this is about?
I haven't got the full story, actually. I don't have any context.
In the video, the female officer can be seen clutching onto the top of the car while the motorist drives away. The vehicle was later brought to a halt by a minibus vehicle, which swerved to block the car. Gauteng Traffic Department said the officer was in the process of issuing the 27-year-old female driver with a traffic fine for using a cell phone while driving, and the driver chose to drive off in the process.
So the officer
tried to stop her by jumping on the car.
Oh, no.
The driver was immediately arrested for failing to comply with the instruction of a traffic officer, for reckless driving, and for resisting arrest.
Sure.
The video is so funny, though. Eh?
Yeah.
Well, it is, but at the same time, can you imagine how scary
it
is to be that officer? Mm. And if you haven't seen the video, you can find it all over social media.
We'll put it up.
It's about time police officers got a bit of exercise in.
Exercise is one thing. Fearing for your life, Leanne, is another.
Once I was sitting in a beauty salon and I could see onto the street. And on the street was a female cop and she was in a motorized wheelchair.
Oh, no.
And I thought, sure, that's quite interesting. But she was just writing fines for parking and putting them onto people's windscreens. So I thought, well, at least she's employed and that's quite nice.
Oh, we don't like her, though.
And she wheeled to the one car, stood up, put the fine under the windscreen wiper, sat back down and wheeled to the next car.
That's just unbelievable. Anyway, this incident happened in Krugersdorp and the woman has been arrested. And I was sure it was a guy, but it's a woman. Who was driving the car.
Yes, you've got to be careful in Krugersdorp. That woman does have a brick in her bag.
Yeah.
It's that or the Krugersdorp killers. It's rough out there. Hmm. I think this woman clearly has something more to hide, though. No. If you were just stopped for using your phone and you're like, oh, it's a ticket.
I think it's just, you know, frustration and arrogance and all of these things put
together. I've been frustrated, but have you ever considered, I'm going to start driving and potentially drive this person over? And they drove at a high speed for, like, that video is easily 10 seconds even. 10 seconds of having someone on your bonnet and you don't think, oh, shut up.
I could kill him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I've never been that frustrated. With my car.
Did you?
Yeah, they were manning a traffic light that was out of order. And I was driving to Varsity, so I wasn't that good at driving yet. And I just went a little bit close to him. My mirror would have slapped his bum, but he arched his back. And as I went past, he went, yes, us lady. And just carried on going.
See, one of my friends had this big Facebook post the other day around, it's not that you are bad at driving, it's that you can't drive. Like, they were adamant that all of these tiny things that we say shouldn't be excuses. It's either you can drive or you can't drive. So,
I'm sorry, those people sound like absolutists, and I'm sure they've made mistakes. They should have their license taken away.
Having their nose up in the air, they were like, if you don't know how to parallel park, it's not that you can't parallel park, you just can't drive. I was like, okay, can you calm down?
Yeah, well, we were talking about this with the licensing yesterday and how many people fail their license, including Celeste, who listens to us, the first time they go for their license. That doesn't mean that they can't drive at all, but it also doesn't mean that they're a brilliant driver.
It takes time.
It does. Mm. You've got experience, and once that's, you know, once you've been driving for a while, you also learn to do things to avoid other people's stupidity on the roads, which has nothing to do with you. Like, sometimes someone else is driving like an idiot and you have to learn to be evasive.
And you got to learn to spot it from a mile away. That one there is stupid.
Right. Like, this guy in front of me on the highway yesterday was swerving around and I could tell he was, like, on his phone.
Mm.
You can see. So you just increase the following distance, maybe try to get into another lane, maybe try to get past him.
Safely.
Right. Because you know eventually it's going to end in tears for that person. So you just got to get away. Anyway, other news. From Krugersdorp to Clarksdorp in the northwest, apparently protesting residents of Kuma Township in the northwest in Clarksdorp have set alight ANC councillors' houses in the area. Police said 8 houses were torched. Northwest police spokesperson Sabata Mokwabon said that the situation is stable. There's still strong police presence on the ground.
Yeah, what do the houses do?
I know, destroying property is dumb. But can you imagine how pissed off these people are with their ANC councillors?
Yeah.
And I'll bet you those ANC councillors have much nicer houses than the people who were burning them.
Of course.
And you know that that's probably because those people have been skimming some money off the top for themselves. I don't know about Clarksdorp in particular, but maybe it's one of those municipalities where they're bankrupt. Where instead of paying Eskom, instead of sorting out clean water, instead of retarring the roads and fixing potholes and fixing the streetlights.
What do they do?
They're putting it in their own pocket.
Stupid asses.
Buying themselves Louis Vuitton and Gucci crap. Because they're ANC councillors. They're living large. So I wouldn't be surprised if these people in that community have just had enough. And we don't hear these stories most of the time. So the fact that they actually had to burn 6 houses in order to get everyone's attention just shows you how desperate these places are getting. We're going to find out more about that story as it unfolds, I'm sure. Millions of patient records are now easily accessible in this is an amazing story. Millions of records belonging to patients worldwide, including x-rays, mammograms, and MRI scans, were long freely accessible online without basic security measures. That's what German authorities said on Tuesday after a media investigation. Apparently some 16 million records are available, unprotected on the internet, and available to anyone with basic computer expertise. Now, so what?
Basic and expertise shouldn't be in the same sentence.
Well, I mean, the ability to switch a computer on and type in search on Google, probably.
Okay.
Leanne, that's kind of basic. Do you care about this type of information of yours leaking out? Because anything else you don't really care about.
Still not.
No. You don't care whether someone knows that you went to have a mole checked out on your back.
No.
So we did a...
Don't care. I would have told you anyway.
Okay.
We did a podcast series, which is still available on cliffcentral.com, with Discovery Health a while ago on oncology. And Discovery, while they have loads and loads of medical information, they what they do is they anonymize it, so they don't make it about particular people. And then they figure out what the trends are. So they're able to predict what's happening with the treatments around certain kinds of breast cancer, for example, or around prostate cancer. And they can plot quite accurately what's going on with those diseases. And that's only because they've got access to all of this information. Now, if ordinary people and even scientists, more especially scientists probably, had access to 16 million, I don't know, patient reports, they might discover something very interesting about the way that humans treat certain diseases, our recovery rate, whether there are differences in certain parts of the world from in other parts of the world, and whether that has to do with nutrition or climate or anything else. I say this kind of information can be really helpful as long as it's anonymous.
As long as it's anonymous.
I don't like the idea that someone's going around going, okay, what is the medical condition of, you know, Google?
But how does it get on the internet, Gareth?
Because that's where everybody stores everything, in the cloud.
Oh, yeah.
They store it on networks. Some of these networks are not secured. People put information wherever it's most convenient. They don't store it in a big box in some storage facility anymore. They put it on the internet. So maybe these 16 million records could be useful and interesting. It is unclear how much of the data has now been safely sealed by the various hospitals and other healthcare providers. Several thousand patient records were accessible, confirmed Germany's Federal Office for IT Security. So, I mean, who knows? But there's probably information about you out there, even your health, that you don't know about.
Yeah, I think about it and we laugh now, but my parents were ahead of their time and didn't care about patient-doctor confidentiality when it came to their kids.
Oh, no, for sure.
Because our family GP that we used for many, many years was also friends with my parents. So my parents used to know any and everything. And, like, I had a pretty vanilla upbringing, but it was like my two elder sisters. I remember once they decided to sneakily go out and get tongue piercings. And my one sister's tongue got an infection from this tongue piercing. And she's like, no, our parents don't know. You're not going to tell them, right? Just sort this out and we'll be fine.
Meanwhile,
my parents knew that night.
Yeah.
They were grounded. It was a whole situation. So some records just always sneak out. Well, your same philosophy on how one day we'll all have our nudes exposed, Gareth.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I do think so. Anyway, one other story, two other stories, in fact. The one is quite quick. There was apparently a bomb threat at Menland Main Shopping Center. It was made up. Some person, an unknown person in his 50s, entered a bank at the Menland Main Shopping Center at 11:15 yesterday morning and wrote a note to the bank teller who assisted him. The note contained a threat to say there was a bomb planted inside the bank. Security reacted and immediately evacuated the whole shopping center. Hmm. The police responded and arrested the man inside the bank. A firearm was also confiscated. And then they looked and they couldn't find anything.
At least he was charged.
I remember when I was growing up as a kid, there were so many bomb threats all over the place. Hmm. Even at school, and we'd have bomb drills. And often people would phone the school and say there was a bomb. Obviously, it was a prank. But I remember that happening a lot, and not lately.
My thing is, when I heard the story, is that at least there's a law against making such threats, and you will get arrested, and you will be charged.
If you make a false threat, you get into big trouble. Mm. You could even go to jail. Mm. I mean, there's no – look, this person might be crazy. Mm-hmm. I always allow for the possibility that someone's just crazy. But these days, you know, again, there are a lot of people, because we live in an attention economy, people are looking for attention. This person might have been pissed off with his wife or his girlfriend, gone for a walk through the shopping center. Maybe she was shopping too long and spending most of his money. And he was like, I've had enough of this. I'm going
to recoup this money.
Yeah, well, not recoup it, but just get her out of the shop. You never know. People are crazy. They do crazy things. And there has to be a penalty. There has to be a price you pay for crying wolf. So let's see what happens. Hopefully there's a follow-up to that too, so we can see whether this guy goes to jail or not. And then a lot of people are frustrated by congestion on the M2 in Johannesburg. They said that's going to come to an end soon. The city of Johannesburg says construction work on the M2 will be completed by the end of October. That's good news. That's the dual carriageway, that double-decker bridge.
Yeah, it's been
under construction. And that has been really, really complicated because for people who go through the city, it's probably the only way, and it's made – really, traveling into town is just a nightmare. So if you're one of those people who has to go into town by that double-decker carriageway every day, I'm so sorry. All right, those are the five things you need to know. See, not so bad.
Yeah, actually.
Not terribly depressing this morning.
Rather informative.
Okay.
And we even laughed at the Metrocop on the bonnet.
we laughed at it, but shame. I do kind of feel sorry for them. Tato says, the torching of houses is also happening in Bochabelo in the Free State. The torching of houses of politicians.
I like that name, Bochabelo.
Our Ndlovu Youth Choir's performance last night in the finals of America's Got Talent. Did you hear about that?
Just the show just wrapped up a little while ago, so that's the finale, and we are in the finale. I love how we instantly gravitate to owning them. We are in the finale. And tomorrow night will be the results evening, so that's when we'll find out if they've won or not.
All right.
I actually don't know what the total prize is for America's Got Talent.
It's $1 million.
I think so, yeah.
Do they still get the show? Like, way back when, if you won America's Got Talent, you got like a 1-year residency in Las Vegas.
Really? Mm.
So if this is the case for them, this would be awesome.
I bet they'd prefer being at home.
Yeah, with a million.
Rather.
I was scared of going back to South Africa, but now I am not. Thanks for your motivation. This is from Eddie. Eddie, don't make your decisions based on me. But anyway, the media is a fuck-up. They love to brainwash us. I'm so tired of being a sheep to the slaughter. I listen to TED Talks and podcasts. That's what Eddie says this morning. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Here's an interesting message. This comes in from Vincent. Vincent says, as the middle child of my family, nobody really gave two shits where I was as a kid. I could just about do anything from 8 a.m. to 2 in the morning. But now that my dad is repeating himself in his old age, he keeps asking my sister where I am, and she's losing her mind.
Oh, sorry. I'm just properly reading up on this prize if the Ndlovu Youth Choir were to win. And it reminds me of when we had our rowing team do well in the Olympics. And we're like, yay, you guys got R1 million. But then, because there are like four people as part of the rowing team, they all had to divide it.
Yeah, so suddenly it was nothing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's $1 million. So
it's still a quarter of $1 million for them to share. But
how many in the choir?
They're like easily, I'll say, between 15 and 20 people.
Okay.
And then you would assume that the conductor gets more than just a random singer. So divide $1 million by 20. And then this is also the disclaimer that America's Got Talent has. So they say the grand prize is $1 million, but they say that it is payable in a financial annuity over 40 years. What? Or the contestants may choose to receive the present cash value of such annuity. So if the winner chooses a first payment option, he or she or they will receive about $25,000 a year for the next 40 years.
Some of the contestants are 40 or older.
Right.
I mean, you need to take that immediately.
And this is taxable income in the U.S. So the total amount received after 4 decades would be significantly less than $1 million. Ish. Excuse.
Yeah, it's not going to set you up for life. No competition ever will. Even the lottery doesn't help some people. You know what I mean?
But they'll still be booked everywhere. Already I'm seeing so many South African corporate brands like tweeting this morning, "You're the pride of our nation.
Oh, please.
Ndlovu, like an elephant, we will not forget you."
Oh, okay, any company that tweets that out or puts that out on social media should be taken down. You have nothing to do with this. If you think they're so good, why aren't you supporting a local choir, huh?
And then, no, of course, our government has also climbed onto this.
Of course they've climbed on board because they've got no achievements of their own to talk about. None.
We aren't surprised, though.
No.
Yeah.
All right, you want more messages?
Okay. Sure.
This is from George. George says, "I agree. The most news I get is listening to you guys. Since I stopped reading news sites and stopped worrying about politics, I'm much happier and stress-free. That is why the week that Gareth was away, bad news correspondent Sia got me down. I almost relapsed." "Horrible media. Sounding a little bit like Donald there, Gareth. Sometimes we need to know because of common humanity. We can share and help in suffering. The saying, no man is an island, still holds true." Okay. This is from Lizan. Lizan, how does it help for you to worry about the people who might have drowned in some, I don't know, freak wave in Indonesia that might be in the news? How does it help that you're worrying about that? What does it do? Zero.
You're still drowned.
And if you think somehow that you caring makes you feel better, it doesn't. It provokes anxiety in you, sends your cortisol level sky high.
Yeah, unless you are deeply religious and you feel like you can pray for those people.
Well, then do that.
Or send good vibes.
You're welcome to it. I'm not going to join in.
But in reality, that's not the way it works.
Go for it. Knock yourself out. You're welcome to it. I don't have to join in your bad news orgy.
Wow.
Grant and Nelspreit says, "We've taken tech away at night, and when we get home, TV included, we play cards and we chat. Turns out I have a really nice family."
Turns out.
That's beautiful. Grant, I love that. That's so good. So they take away all their tech at night when they get home. Put away their phones. I think that's so helpful.
Yeah, pull out the candles and the guitar.
Sing Kumbaya.
No, but it sounds like they probably...
the ukulele, harmonica.
You know, I have a friend who, she refuses to let anybody use phones after a certain time of night, and they have dinner. She insists on everybody is together at dinner every night.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are obviously going to be rare exceptions where someone has to do something, but she said they have a sit-down dinner every night, and they all talk to each other.
Mm.
And I'll tell you something, if more of us in South Africa did that with our families, we'd already be 50% healthier.
Well, that's how I grew up. I mean, we always did that. On the rare occasion, we'd have trays and sit and watch if, you know, the A-team was on or something.
You're not old at all. Dinner.
All right.
But otherwise, and so we still do that as a family. Right. When we do eat together, we're not on our phones. We sit and talk.
Right. Okay.
Perish the thought.
I looked around the other day in a restaurant where people have gone out and they're spending hard-earned money. 80% maybe of the tables around me, the people are sitting on their phones.
Sure. Such a messed up culture.
Not even talking to each other. They're unaware. Like you have a guy and a girl, they're probably on a date.
Oh.
And they're both on their phones. And I'm like, well, what happened to the date?
I've noticed this a couple of times, and full admission, with my friends and I, every time we meet for brunch or breakfast, whatever the case is, we have at least the first 20 minutes in silence. It's like we're here, and now we need to post that we're here, and then let's quickly take a photo.
After the food.
We get all of that out of the way, then we can focus. But first you need to know if the tree fell in the forest and no one heard it. Did it really count? No.
Yeah.
So we have to tag first.
Right.
Even relationships nowadays are run on phones.
Tell us, Google, about relationships.
I've not been in one in a while, so leave me alone. Thank you.
No, but you were saying, I'm joking.
Yeah, I mean, people don't spend time with each other, you know, and making proper interpersonal connections. It's just everything's on the mobile phone. It's texting, sexting. People, do you even know how to have sex anymore, Sia?
Hi. What?
Most young people don't.
Where did this go all of a sudden?
This is a good point, because young people now are having less sex than the same age of people in one generation back.
Of course I do. We bump our belly buttons together.
Look at that.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, anyway.
No, millennials are having less sex than anyone else. Gen Z, less interest even in sex than anyone else.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, yes. what do you think we did in the days when we didn't have phones?
Yeah, exactly.
Sex. Speaking of the media, I see fake news New York Times has fucked up again. Would you give me some ideas on specifics there, Sean?
Yeah, what happened?
And by the way, I happen to like the New York Times in terms of them being a news organization. They're one of the few in the world that still works. And when they report good news, they're not just good news, but interesting news, different news. They do it better than anyone else. I'm loath to call them fake news, although they definitely have an editorial bent and they definitely are political. The New York Times, just like anything else, has an agenda. And if you're politically not lined up with them, you probably call them fake news. And if you're politically lined up with them, you think they're the most reputable news organization in the world, and they've never made a mistake, and they're completely fault-free. So give me some details, Sean.
I think Sean might be talking about the botched investigation into Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh story. The New York Times ran a story around sexual misconduct allegations against Brett. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh thing
has been so embarrassing for the Democrats. It really has. This guy has turned out to be a very good justice in the Supreme Court. He's actually voted in ways that moderates and progressives would have been very happy with had they known this while they were trying to slap all kinds of misogynistic and sexist and chauvinistic behavior on him before he was confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. It's embarrassing.
So these two reporters who did this investigation have called it an oversight that they didn't even interview the woman who's at the center of the allegations. And moreover, the woman who's at the center of all of these allegations has friends who say that they don't recall this incident of sexual misconduct. But nonetheless, the New York Times still ran with the story. Yeah, I think that's what
If you're the New York Times, there is a higher standard of truth that needs to be applied to you. If you're just some idiot on Twitter, then you don't have to be a journalist who researches things properly and interviews all the parties involved. But if you're in the New York Times, you have to. Otherwise, your credibility is paper thin. And people are always looking to destroy your credibility if you're the New York Times.
Especially in these times.
Especially Donald Trump.
Come on. All right, Michael Jackson.
Graham says, check out a book called Coloring the News, which is on the New York Times. Okay, I will do. Sia, the Australian Powerball is currently $150 million.
US dollars or Australian dollars?
Australian dollars.
Okay.
That money gets paid out immediately after you've seen a financial advisor. Tax-free.
Oh.
How about that?
Tax-free.
Wow. But also, I like the fact that you have to see a financial advisor.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Our lottery not offer that, though, to lottery winners.
You have to have counseling.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have a session before you get your money.
Well, as you lose your head, man.
People do.
Counseling aside, I'd still lose it.
No,
I would still lose it.
You'd walk in there and not listen.
If I won the lottery just today, I would book the Ndlovu Youth Choir. Just to say, like, screw it. The entire world wants your attention. No, I want you in my house.
And you'd have them do it today. For you, a private show?
Absolutely.
One man.
See, you're so weird.
You're very odd.
I would lose it.
Very
all.
Odd choice.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we've got lots to get into this morning, including, I think this will be interesting to people. There is a way to get, like, less tax on your investments. I mean, that should grab your attention straight away. If you have money and you are an investor and you want to find ways to, you know, pay attention to what's happening to your money and perhaps not only be invested in things that are really interesting, but also to get a tax break as a result of it. We're going to talk to someone about that later on from Growvest. So hang around for that. And we'll get into some news stories with Leanne, which she probably will repeat from last week. So
yes.
Hang around for that. That's going to be great.
This is CliffCentral.com.